Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the person they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. When there's conflict between a couple of people, whether it's a husband or wife, siblings, or two employees at the office, at least three things have to happen to get a resolution in a healthy way. It's usually not as easy as 1, 2, 3, problem solved, or ABC, it's done. But for the purposes of remembering, I'm going to use ABC with each suggestion starting with one of those letters. Paul the Apostle said this, by the way, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone, Romans 12:18. So let me start with A, acknowledge that there is a problem. You'll be surprised at how many times people will go through weeks, even months, and never acknowledge that there's a problem in a relationship. They just pretend like everything's okay when it's not. Conflicts usually begin with a difference of opinion or viewpoint. Whether it's what to have for supper or how to raise the kids or how the boss wants the assistant to answer the phone. What I often see happening in relationships is people playing games. I mean, pretending like there's no problem when there is. So maybe they don't talk. Maybe they take meals separately. Maybe they avoid each other at the coffee pot, at the office break room. All kinds of ways people play games that way. Do you remember the story about the six blind men who wanted to figure out what an elephant was by touching the elephant? The first blind person touched the leg and he said, hey, the elephant is like a fence post. The second man touched the tail and said, no, it's like a rope. Third touched the elephant's trunk and said, no, it's like a thick branch of a tree. The fourth man touched the ear and said, it's like a big hand fan. The fifth man touched the elephant's belly and said, no, it's a huge wall. The sixth man touched the tusk and said, it's a solid pipe. Well, the men began to argue about the elephant, and each one insisted that they were right. And to you and me today, it's clear they were all right to a degree. The point is that in practically every conflict, there's an invisible elephant in the room, and often both people have elements of truth. They're just looking at their situation from different perspectives. Rarely does one have the whole truth while the other's completely wrong. Even the grayness of the elephant in that story metaphorically implies that problems cannot always be defined in terms of being black and the other white. So take away from that is to acknowledge that your partner's perspective might have an element of truth. Start there with the elephant in the room. Admit that there's a problem and that you might be seeing things differently. And appreciate that. And that brings me to B, believe. What do you believe? Well, try to believe the best about the person that you have a disagreement with. So often we paint that person with negative terms. That's natural because it's a matter of defense for us. So it's something of a security mechanism. But stop yourself, because that will lead you only to deeper hurts and more painful conflict. We have a tendency to pre-play negative conversations between ourselves and the person with whom we're conflicted. He didn't take out the trash. Why? Well, because he thinks he's above me. That's why. And I'm going to tell him that, and I'm going to let him have it. And so you rehearse that, and when all of a sudden you let that person have it. It could be that he or she just forgot. Instead, look for the best. Honey, I know you're extremely busy. Do I need to take out the trash for you this week? See, you've not agreed to do it forever, and you've acknowledged that there's a problem, and you're suspending judgment by believing the best about your partner. But I know some of you might be thinking, yeah, I tried something like that, and that person laughed at me and even cussed at me in the process. So it might help to look at a different aspect of that word, the B letter. Boundaries is another way to look at that. We do need to set boundaries. We need to believe the best, but also set boundaries. That means treating each other with respect. If one partner yells and the other curses at the other, have a prior agreement or understanding that it's time to walk away and talk about it when tempers calm down and a more meaningful conversation can take place. Let's think about the C. The C can stand for compromise. I know it's not a popular word because it's so often interpreted to mean giving up or giving in. Someone said, a compromise is a deal in which two people get what neither one of them wanted. But it doesn't have to be that way. So let me emphasize, I'm not talking about compromising your deepest convictions or your morals. There are areas where we can compromise. So let's say you make a commitment at work for excellence, And for you, let's say that means purchasing a certain type of stationery for the office. In your mind, this particular stationery seems to symbolize excellence for your company, but your colleague disagrees. It's cost prohibitive, he or she says. So acknowledge the problem. You don't see things the same. Do you have a difference of opinion? Then believe the best in each other, maintaining that there might be elements of truth for both of you. You hold mutual boundaries. You both respect each other. You're both professionals and don't speak in demeaning ways about the other person. So how can a compromise be made? Could you find some stationery that still satisfies the bar of excellence for you and is also cost effective? I don't know how that works exactly in that particular situation, in that circumstances, but I think you understand how you can move towards an agreement. Perhaps at home, your wife wants fish and you want steak. Well, could you grill both? Could you grill steak on the day the forecast calls for nice weather and bake fish on the day the forecast is for rain? I know those scenarios aren't as complicated as the ones you may be facing today, but I do hope they can help you move toward understanding the concept of agreement. I read that for buildings to survive an earthquake, they have to have two things. They have to have a deep foundation, preferably based on bedrock, and the building itself must be able to sway and not crack. That's a good lesson for us when it comes to relationships and compromise. Foundations and flexibility are both necessary for healthy relationships. Without the foundation, there's no stability. Without the flexibility, there is no give and take, and we become brittle and easily break. As one of my friends likes to say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. Try that this week. Put some of those into action, and then come back here next week and join me right here. And in the meantime, go out and be the person God created you to be. Here comes the sun.